I think it's more on the supply side. And on the supply side, I can definitely, see that that can't come on, that this number is not going to meet, this
right.
This demand level. So it, I think copper's become less of a, let's say, an EV or a carbon neutral technology story rather than a supply constrained story.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
All right, sure. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Thanks for coming up on board. You're quite the traveler here. Whether it's going out on site on different projects or whether it's going to different conferences and speaking. So things are starting to really move. And I should say, hopefully at the start of things to move in the junior mining sector, specifically the explorers is what you specialize in. So just want to get your thoughts first. What are you seeing? What are you feeling at the different talks and conferences that you're giving, as well as talking with the different companies yourself? What are you seeing and feeling?
Well, I mean, I guess like at the beginning, last time we talked was before Christmas,
yep,
I believe. And, the tone was very, the sentiment was very negative. And that negativity probably rolled right into the conferences in Vancouver, the Roundup, the VRIC, the Metals Investment Forum that I went to. And then by the time we got to PDAC, I would say, there was more sentiment towards industry players doing strategic investments and stuff like that, such that on the floor of PDAC, not a lot of the CEOs were actually in their booths of companies. More of them were in the rooms talking to companies. Because as we know that, M&A activity has been picking up, a good marker of that in the gold sector would be the multiple bid for Osino, which we haven't seen for a long time. And not off, a lows and not a take under or anything like that, a decent price and then another price that was over that and importantly, all cash. And now we just saw another one for Argonaut by Alamos. So all that is very positive for the sector, because usually that kind of M&A precedes price action, or at least where people think that, this company is just going to be worth more in another 6 months. So we got to act now. There has been no problem with price. So price has now been leading. The problem has been the impact on if we stick to gold equities, and we're not seeing the kind of leverage we saw before. And we might have discussed that before, why we haven't seen leverage. My idea was some of the gold buying has been from central banks, and that doesn't usually spill over into equities. I think now the buying now is a little bit more ETF. And so that is spilling into equities. The other thing is M&A. That should spur on more movements in stocks, which we hadn't seen a lot of last year, especially in the precious metal sector. I would say also is the leverage companies offer has been, restrained is a good word, because of the costs, labor, energy. All these other costs are coming into producing the ounces has come up faster than the gold price. The other thing I would say is they all, some of them increase their reserve prices. And when you increase your reserve price, you bring more low grade material that requires, more trucks, more fuel, more labor to produce that ounce. And so those are probably coming in at a lower margin than the ounces you produced at the lower reserve price. So that leverage is something people have been looking for before they step into the sector. And another thing I'd point out is people that are transferring from sectors saying, maybe they won big on AI or on the tech sector, looking for generalists looking for another undercapitalized sector, are looking at, you know, the metal sector or the resource sector. But their problem is that, you know, these companies for them are not liquid enough. And so they almost need them to come a bit before they come down on, you know, your intermediate producers, let alone your developers, and not even talking about your juniors. Because for some of these firms, you know, microcap is $1 billion market.
Right. Right. Yeah, I've heard that a lot too, is the liquidity just right now isn't there. That being said, if they start to move, and it's kind of like what comes first, the chicken or the egg, you know, but if they start to move, the liquidity will come, I believe at least, but we shall see.
The thing is that some of that demand has probably been siphoned off, you know, a bit from the equity ETFs, Bitcoin maybe. So we didn't see that the last time we had, you know, gold equities trading at, let's say, 2+ price to net asset value. I don't think that we get back to that point. What people are just looking for is better than one.
All right.
And right now we haven't seen that yet. So once we start seeing that, I'm sure that people will start coming back in into the market, into the equity parts of it.
Got it. Now you've been across the pond. Is it the same mood, if you would, over there with investors as well as with companies? Or is everybody still skeptical and worried or even afraid of this space?
Well, I guess, you know, what we were seeing is like, if I look at those conferences in Vancouver versus PDAC, and now at the Swiss Mining Institute, which was at the more in the March timeframe, the sentiment has been improving.
It has,
you know, and you know, because they've been seeing the move in the precious metal prices, especially gold. People are bullish on the metal. They're also seeing, you know, movements in industrial metals like copper that they like. And there was a good reflection of that in the companies that attended at the Swiss Mining Institute. So most of the mood was positive. The negative sentiment was that most of these companies didn't have a lot of working capital to do much.
Right.
And so I guess it's the next wave of recapitalization that we're waiting for to fund the next season of Catalyst. Because I think as this S&P market intelligence group pointed out, like, you know, with the reduction in financing for a lot of these companies, especially in the gold sector, we're seeing less drilling, which generates less, you know, news flow and catalysts going forward.
Right.
We need capital.
Where do you see the money coming from, if you would, if it's not going to be from retail investors? Is there, another big whale of investor out there? Or
Well, I think, like, depending what we call retail, I think there's a lot of like family offices, high net worth individuals that will roll back into the resource sector. The thing is that those guys would probably be, I don't know if they'd be taking the space of retail as much as maybe some of that institutional equity that doesn't exist anymore, but they'd be filling a role in terms of funding this next generation of assets. But I think regardless, we still need a reduction of the companies and more focus. And that way we can increase the liquidity of the individual companies, reduce their G&A, and prioritize their asset portfolio so most of the money goes into the best projects.
I'm glad you said that, because as an investor, that's one of my biggest fears, if you would, is that I'm really subsidizing a lifestyle as opposed to a project that I believe in or that has been sold to me.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that you don't want money going to, you know, like with flow through, you know, unincentivized investors that buy into a company only for a tax benefit for themselves, rather than by ticking all the boxes that you would for investing in that company, you know, whether it's management, the asset, the results, the upcoming catalysts, all that other stuff they don't care about. So you've got a whole bunch of disincentivized shareholders that are taking a position in a company, and then 4 months they're going to be gone.
Right.
So definitely what you want is that kind of company that you believe in with the right management team. Those are the ones that should get funded. The problem is that there's still these other companies out there that are also seeing money come in and hence, you know, the drop in exploration discoveries and things like that.
Got it. Now, again, looking at the past 3 months in the rear view mirror, we're going into, or we're in the second quarter right now. What do you see things improving then gradually or maybe immediately as the year progresses?
Well, what I'd like to see is signs. Like during my, during PDAC, I talked about, you know, this Lions Group Metals, I think it's called, or Lions Selection, have an investment clock. I added some things to it, but we're seeing all those signs of a sector turnaround. And, you know, for me, one of the most important is the M&A activity in the precious metal sector. But now we need that recapitalization.
Yeah. Like,
because these guys need to go, most of them need to go back to the market before they can fund their next exploration program.
Right.
This summer, which usually happens around PDAC. But we haven't seen a lot of refinancing. We've seen people selling royalties. I just saw one where I believe it was Scotty Resources sold a royalty for $8 million to Franco. Not a big deal for Franco. You know, they probably won't miss the money at all, but a big deal for that junior. But it's not a great sign that the recapitalization involves selling royalties right now. I would prefer that, you know, that they actually raised hard dollars, you know, in equity rather than start, you know, diluting the asset.
Right. Catalyzing the asset. Interesting. I guess the next question I have is, let's talk about industrial metals, and I'd like to talk about jurisdictions. Last time we talked, you were very focused, or you were optimistic, if you would, on the price of copper. And if I'm recalling my conversation correctly, it's just because obviously the supply deficit, or the coming supply deficit of copper,